DM. It's a real pleasure for me to be here tonight with all of you, and it's an honor to share the evening with Natasha. I'm a big fan of her work, what I've seen online, and now I'm going to buy all her books. When Deanna asked me to come here to read a few months ago, I decided I wanted to make a connection between the library and what's across the street, Cabot Square. Recently, the Governor General of Canada referred to people who are visible and invisible in the square these days and nights as immigrants, quote, indigenous, unquote, people. And so I wanted to make the connection, and I found a woman who I interviewed a few months ago. She is the executive director of the Native Women's Shelter in Montreal. And she's also the founder and the organizer, the main person behind the Cabot Square project, which is dealing with issues in the square and with the quote-unquote revitalization of the square, which basically means displacement of more people. And I interviewed her over there in the Alexis Neon Plaza. We were sitting in a public space. She had a coffee. There were security guards walking around. And it's very important to note that she was well-dressed as we were sitting there during the interview. So I recorded the interview, and tonight I want to play extracts from that interview. And in between, I will read some of my poetry. So her name is Nakuset, and she's an amazing organizer. She organized yesterday's Aboriginal Day here in Cabot Square. And she's just like indefatigable. There are poems written for feasts and famine, for the blind, the bold, the near, the far. Poems written because someone must not keep the world waiting, nor refuse the offer of a word or two from an unmeasurable distance. If no one writes them, where will they go? Who will they visit? Where can they sleep? There are poems that were written without sleep or pen or paper or hour of day to mark them, without peace of mind or permission or the voice of authority or a marketing executive to modulate their pitch or their trajectory to determine their worth or stamp them with a rotten tomato for public consumption. There are poems that were written because radar-defying weapons were needed to blast holes into the Pentagon, the Kremlin, and Parliament, to explain life on death row, to shut out the clanging of steel doors in the Tennessee women's prison. Strangers and dead souls, to grab hands and spirits with the force of a deep yearning for a greater sum of the parts, for the love gone missing. There are poems that were written to help light a fire in the middle of a park, in the middle of the night, to draw instruments of music near so that the dance of poetry could begin. And there are poems that were written.
Tous ces longs mois, oui, les autres, Parliament Square was first to try to bring them back into the park, but also we wanted to change the perception of Indigenous people. Because a lot of non-Indigenous people read newspapers and they have a preconceived notion of who we are, and we wanted to change that. So we thought that if we were to create different activities at Cabot Square on every Friday, this would be something that they could participate in. One of the activities that we have is the Inuit Soapstone Sculpture Workshops, and they are incredibly well attended. We have the police, community members, plus Indigenous people that also want to learn. What they don't know is that the people that are actually teaching the soapstone sculptures are homeless. So we are teaching them amazing art. We are paying those that are homeless, we're giving them a job. They're also getting contracts on the side. So nobody actually knows that they are, but we have to make a change. The Indigenous population is doing everything we can to make it easier. Because it's not easy being Indigenous in the city, or anywhere else for that matter, but especially in the city. And we need to have better allies. But unless you understand who we are, you're only going to be, sort of staying on your own side, looking at us through a different type of lens. We are doing everything that we can to change that lens.
From Cabot Square, let's go to another park, close to where I live, on the edge of downtown Montreal, in Milton Park. And this was a park that was a green space fought for by residents, looked after by residents, maintained by residents, nurtured by residents for 25 years in the middle of the city. South of Pine, north of Prince Arthur, east of Hutchison, west of Park Avenue. It's called This Park is the Poetry. Park Oxygen reinvents downtown Montreal. This is no ordinary green space, defiant, floating, suspended between four black ribbons, a throbbing car of death culture. Repulsing the dim, the wind, the metal, with four massive stones and silence. Park Oxygen, People's Park, People's Art. This is no ordinary green light, illuminating the past for tomorrow. Despite the crushed and weighted monsters oversized, doom and darkness, the errors of economy, trying to stare down whispered hopes of plant, insect, and laughing children. Park Oxygen, from the ruins rising. This no ordinary green fist poised aimed at creatures of concrete, steel, and profit. These fingers clenching rock, dirt, flowers, tracing the play of sparrows and doves and bumblebees, bringing news to the front. Park Oxygen testimonial. This no ordinary green footprint sowing wonder, an exploding constellation of lilac, tulip, daisy, rose, hydrangea, sunflower, dandelion, apple, and cedar. Casting spells, sunburn, expanding their zones and aromas, the blooming commons of freedom. Park Oxygen, formatting citizens' direct action. This no ordinary green song, composing itself, replaying, planting, and rooting in these shoes, bike wheels, and baby carriages, back and forth, the metronome of east and west, the melody of ecology and urban bloom. This is an ordinary green dream, born of frustration, daughter of urban visionaries, mothers and stewards of the future, daring to not wait, watch, and heed the death wishes of the present, but to rearrange and rectify the past now. Park Oxygen, this is an ordinary green world. Volunteer gardeners, ready into the soil, the dig, the hole, the rake, the rebirth of once paved alleyway.
You could have told me.
You guys.
Just a little easier.
Montreal celebrating 375 years
of what?
All that money
for what?
375 years for stations people still being harassed, people in need still being ignored. Montreal, you got no heart, no art. Montreal, you got no heart, no art. Only bars pumping beer into the veins of the vein on the main, contemplating the pain of heartless, artless pleasures on sale in Les Boutiques Salles. Les boutiques Yvonne, ce qui est chic. The chic stamped void, no trespassing. Trendy terrorism, terrorize the trendless. With taste of
state and found it tasteless, with mortgages sold to a BMW, a Belgian motorized apartment. Montreal, you got no heart, no heart in your shiny towers. Spitting out dead air that's conditioned to preserve the hair under your conservative chin, then your bleached hair, your desert lairs, your tacky fares, where all the laughter's imported, professional, repackaged, and sold to the poor, who otherwise question their own sense of humor. Because in this city of celebration, the drinks are never on the house, eh? Dare we ask, is a beer overpriced only for those who can afford it? Can you lend me what you spend at the end of your day? Can you refill my paper cup with pieces of crust and butts and spare change your millennials guard under their pillows? Can you smile on me, the toothless smile of a Ben Fong Chong? No longer moments where all the ordinary guy's taverns have gone tavern back, or if it's just his imagination that's harbored a thirst too long. Montreal, you got no heart, no heart, only barbecue vedettes. This year's warmed up star to serve the hungry, already tired of feeding on themselves. But watch, you've tried hard, you can't consume me. I'm inedible, I'm dirty, I reek of garlic. I walk you, talk to you, caress your sidewalks with my ragged soul. I scream your name when I sit in the toilet. Montreal! I came here looking for love, for dignity, and all I found was asbestos, mercury, two stones across, and a mountain begging for mercy. Montreal, you don't forgive the French, you don't forgive immigrants, you don't forgive the poor, you don't forgive indigenous people. They drink your water, they reel and totter, so we eat you, Montreal. Your rats, your mice, your pigeons, burping, joking, farting our way from corner to corner, hoping that that manure will cash in your partygoers' empties. How they weigh us down. Montreal, you got no art, no art. Your meat boxes don't go boom anymore in the middle of the night. Your streets are rumbling like exploding fleur-de-lis. Your soldiers speak the peace of the silent troops. Each rebel is made with your clothing stores. You send in the riot squad, the SWAT team, the army to make medical history on your own gut. While you lay naked, shameless, exposed in all your glory to truly investors, the microchip dealers in final art, who nod their approval and grab you by the balls and squeeze. Montreal, stop the metro. I want to get off. I want to murder the jumpers ahead. It ain't worth it. Montreal, it's St. John Baptist Day, and the Baptists want your head. All the Christians burn your churches to the ground. Your wits was never rich here. Your hungry so thin. The lines for a handout. So long. Yeah, pretend to celebrate life. Party times to come, boom boom party town. But who sleeps in your broken buses, stacked alongside your tracks? Who calls the side of the mountain under a lone spruce home? Who carved your initials into your streets with the bullets from a Mohawk machine gun? Pierre? Josephine? The old Canada man? A Chinese cook from NDG? A bagel boy from El Salvador? A refugee who couldn't stand the heat? Light up Place Ville Marie. Don't put in clothes you don't stain your roof. To power toothbrushes in Manhattan. Montreal, face it. You got no heart, no art. But you flaunt your manicure like a blue-rinsed hamster. Look, Toronto, same color bricks, and they speak English. Go on, sweep the streets, clean the undesirables. Hide the poor behind an empty gas station in the burbs. Encore, echoes Place des Arts, as an opera company truck snuffs out Charlie, who's asleep under some cardboard up against a hot air grill. Bravo, goes Radio Canada, as Mrs. D lovingly washes another ruby red tomato plucked from the Pine Avenue garden. No one warned her this hazardous to her health. Bravo, Montreal. You got no heart, no heart. And who bought you so cheap and swept you out of the market when the janitor wasn't looking? Are you going to wither away during the next beer strike? You got no heart, Montreal. No heart. Only hangers on. Evictees from Overdale, St. Aubert, St. Hubert, St. Denis Street, and all the saints who failed them in their demands for tenants' rights, tenants' revenge, forgotten families splattered on your sidewalks, streetwalkers pushed up and robbed against your walls, welfare babies crammed into your basements, garbage pickers thwarted by your locks. Window is big, new, tinted green to match the last tree in my block. The sign in it says, Vault on sale. I sniff the flowers, raise my hand. See the mountain cross in flames now, brighter than any festival fireworks. With all my strength, I hurl the brick without letting go. Montreal, you got no heart, no heart. But
the solution, then I urge you to write to the mayor of Westmount and ask him how he is going to be helping the indigenous population. Because when Open Door closes down, they're going to be walking into Westmount. They're not going to know where to go. They're going to be lost. If we create a solution, then we will be helping them in the long term. Not just the band-aid, but we will find programs to help them in the long term. And that is a win-win.
Thanks to that cassette and the community people, they've actually saved the Open Door. The Open Door is a local drop-in center for homeless people. A lot of First Nations people make use of it. But they actually saved it just the other day, so that's good news. I want to end with my good friend, Louie. You know my friend, Louie? You don't know Louie? Louis Riel! Louis Riel is a pizza delivery boy who drove a beat up Toyota all night long just to pay his room and board. He dreamed of roaring down the highway one day on a solar powered chopper that he designed himself. That's Louis Riel. Louis Riel was a Tim Hortons waitress with three kids to support and an ulcer. He came home each night smoking, candle filter, sober her feet, dreaming about the three-piece bedroom set on special at IKEA, living in a home of her own one day, a nice little house, with a garden, a picket fence, and big trees where her kids could climb and play with peace and security. That's Louis Riel. Louis Riel is a kinko copy boy, so tired of photocopying other people's stupid documents. He was an artist. He wanted to draw, paint, and sculpt beautiful images of people making love, all his friends making love together. All of them wearing a Japanese condo, of course. Louis Riel was a cardboard mask on my front door, staring down at the street, zapping all the passing cars and trucks with a Métis war sale, guaranteed to clog the carburetors on a given day, a given hour. No big shot, no price tag, and no human hand blocked their path, and only the smell of fresh cut grass ruled the air. This day, Louis Riel would proclaim a holiday. This day, Louis Riel would charge no coffee, no pizza, no photocopying, and no tune-up. This day, Louis Riel would spell out in block letters and spray paint on every big condo project in the city. This day, Louis Riel would interrupt